Turning to our immigration crisis, it seems every day we hear something about it. It continues to build, with President Trump doubling down on his demand for billions to build a wall at our southern border. A new project called Hostile Terrain 94 tries to redirect our attention to the people crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. University of Michigan anthropologist Jason DeLeon is founder of the Undocumented Migration Project and creator of Hostile Terrain 94, also the author of The Land of Open Graves, Living and Dying on the Migrant Trail. Jason DeLeon, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me back.
It has been a few years. That was some 6 years ago. We sat down and talked with you here. We had a great conversation about your growing collection of the artifacts left behind by migrants coming to the U.S. from Mexico. I remember you talking about the children's backpacks and the children's clothing. So you're an anthropologist, you're an archaeologist, and I'm wondering how you've taken that skill set in the years since to tell the stories of these migrants.
Well, it's funny. A lot has happened since I was last here, and I feel like my career seems to be taking a lot of left turns periodically. And so there's been a series of left turns that have ended me up here and, you know, thinking about exhibition work and artwork in relationship to the anthropological work, the archaeological work. And, you know, I think now when I was here last time, we were still in the midst of really collecting a lot of these materials. We stopped collecting probably around 2014, partly because we ran out of room. But then we also started to think about, okay, what can we do with these objects that migrants have left behind that we have collected? How can we write about them, analyze them, but then also how can we translate them for different kinds of spaces? And so the art exhibition stuff started happening around 2013 and has only really been growing since then. But we've been using those artifacts both to write about them academically as well as to use them in exhibition work.
And the Undocumented Migration Project covers what? All of this activity and then some?
You know, it began with very humble kinds of goals, and it was to see, okay, what can we learn about border crossings in southern Arizona? And now, you know, we've spent a decade in southern Arizona, but we've also been working along the Guatemala-Mexico border since 2015, been covering all of Mexico since then. And so bouncing around from Honduras to southern Mexico to northern Mexico to Arizona to New York, we've been moving around, but trying to understand different aspects of this process.
And since you were on this program in the summer of 2013, we now have a president who's intensely focused on keeping these migrants out of this country. How has President Donald Trump affected the work you do?
In many ways, it's really inspired me to work harder. I have two small kids at home, and I think that at the end of 2016, I got to a point where I was thinking, okay, I can either be totally demoralized about the sort of state of affairs and the ways in which a certain segment of the American population is thinking about immigration and our immigration history, or I can try to find some sort of positive thing to look forward to and to work towards. And so I think in some ways, you know, Trump has really inspired me to work harder, to do more public outreach, make my work more accessible to an audience that maybe wouldn't want to read an academic book or, you know, read a journal article.
So, which leads us to this new project, Hostile Terrain 94. What is it?
So Hostile Terrain 94 is a collaboration between myself, our longtime photographer, Michael Wells, and Detroit-based curator and graphic artist, Lucy Cahill. And it is a public installation piece. Basically, it's a giant wall map of Arizona with 3,034 handwritten toe tags for the bodies that have been recovered in southern Arizona since about 2000. And so these tags contain name, location, age, sex, cause of death, GPS coordinates, county. There's about 1,200 of them that are unidentified bodies, so bodies that have been recovered but still have not been repatriated. There's orange tags for the unidentified and manila for those who have been identified. This project started, you know, this iteration of it, started as a piece that's up at the Phillips Art Museum in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that we put up 2 months ago. And during the course of making this giant toe tag wall that was really constructed by about six undergraduate students at the University of Michigan who spent 2 months filling out these toe tags, it's mounted on a wall in the exact location where these bodies had been found. So it's a very big piece. It's about 15, 16 feet long and about 10 feet tall. In the midst of working on this exhibition piece for Lancaster, for the Phillips Museum, I got the idea that what would happen then if we did this in other locations, but instead of us building it, we would then say, here's a community that's interested in this issue. We're going to give you the kit. We'll give you all the toe tags. We'll give you all the information. And then it's your job to organize your community to come together and to fill out these tags and to make this piece. And it really came out of the fact that I was thinking, well, it was impactful for us to spend the time to handwrite out the names of the dead.
Thinking of the names.
I mean, really, yeah. Very challenging for the students, for myself. When we finished the piece in Lancaster, we all kind of took a step back, and it was a very heavy thing. You know, you spend time engaging with these names, and especially the unidentified. And so I thought, well, rather than putting this up someplace else where people can just come and kind of maybe gawk at it, what happens if we ask people to then commit themselves to helping to make this? And so in some sort of show of solidarity and of commitment, even if it's only for half an hour, to fill out 5 toe tags and to put them on this wall. So then I got the idea, okay, what if we do that someplace else? And then I was thinking, well, okay, we're coming up on an election cycle. People are going to be talking more and more about immigration as we move forward. No one's talking about migrant deaths in the desert or in Texas, really. What if we do this in 94 locations as a symbolic nod to the year that this policy that created all these deaths happened?
The prevention through deterrence policy, yes.
So what if we did that in 94 locations and we asked thousands of people to come together from around the globe to do this and to do it all at the same time? And so Hostile Terrain will debut in the fall of 2020. All across the U.S., all across Latin America, we're working on, we have representation right now in Italy and England. We're trying to get into other places globally. Everyone will do it over a 3-week period, and on Friday, October 3rd, 2020, it'll be up in 93 locations at once. People will be live streaming this, will be tweeting it, they'll be modifying it in their own kind of locally specific ways. And then what we're going to do is ask everybody to send back all of the toe tags. So over 300,000 will be sent back to us, and then we will go to Washington, D.C. and make our 94th exhibition, I hope, within walking distance of the White House.
And you're going to actually be kind of doing a trial run, if we shall say that, and exhibiting Hostile Terrain 94 from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. March 27th, 28th, and 29th at Mason Hall on the University of Michigan campus. How do you answer, Jason, the people who believe deeply that these migrants who are walking to the United States from Mexico through the desert are breaking our laws, and that a country can't just have wide open borders letting in whomever turns up?
Oftentimes the argument about this whole legal, illegal thing, it's a really easy way to simplify this whole thing. And the people who typically are arguing, well, illegal is illegal and these are kind of lawbreakers, they're the folks who don't understand, number one, the history of U.S. immigration, how it hasn't always been this way in terms of how we accept immigrants and refugees. Many of their ancestors came here probably illegally or came here during times where it was easy to bribe people. But more importantly, the folks who want to shut off the border don't want to recognize that these people are oftentimes fleeing issues that the U.S. is responsible for in some way, shape, or form. So the nightmare that is in Honduras and in the Golden Triangle, the political instability, the gang wars, the drug smuggling, the U.S. is deeply implicated in these things. So these are people fleeing oftentimes U.S.-constructed problems, coming to the United States to ask for help, and then we want to say, well, it's not our problem, when in fact it is our problem. We're very much implicated in a lot of this stuff. And I think whether we're talking about Latin America or talking about Syria or talking about Africa, I think that these governments where we're faced with this humanitarian crisis right now, their populations have to realize that these are global issues that aren't going away anytime soon, and that we need to start thinking about comprehensive immigration reform to deal with this crisis that is only going to get worse.
And you are hoping that this installation plants some new thoughts in people's mind, a new way of looking at this problem?
Yeah, I mean, for some people, it'll be their first time engaging with any of this stuff. And so I think in some ways, it's this public service of, I just want to educate you about this issue. If you're a pro-wall, I want you to understand that thousands have been dying for a long time. And these people know very well that there's a high likelihood of death crossing the Arizona desert, and yet they continue to do it. And so maybe by seeing their names up close, you can start to think about, well, God, how bad must it be if someone has risked this much? What must life be like on the other side? And then if death isn't going to stop people from continuing to come, why would we think that some kind of wall would? So in some ways, it's really to put this out into a public that they can at least get some more information, and also to kind of remember the historical depth of these things. Because right now, I mean, we're very much focused on this current crisis as if it's just kind of happened overnight. And I want people to think about this goes back decades.
Hostile Terrain 94 will be exhibited March 27th, 28th, and 29th at Mason Hall on the University of Michigan campus. And actually, you can learn more about this project, also the Undocumented Migration Project, by going to the website, which is easy to find, undocumentedmigrationproject.com. Jason De Leon, University of Michigan anthropology professor and the creator of Hostile Terrain 94. It's great talking with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me back.
Heads up, everybody, from the DNR. Humans aren't the only ones ready for spring and warmer weather. Black bears are coming out of hibernation, and they're hungry. Black bears are making their way farther south into Michigan's Lower Peninsula with sightings in places like South Haven and Cadillac. And the state wants us to make it tougher for bears to dive into nice, easily accessible food sources like your bird feeders and garbage cans. Bears find bird seed and suet delish and a lot easier than digging around for roots of early spring plants or insects in trees and logs. So advice from the DNR, keep your pet food inside a secured area, keep garbage secured, and protect any beehives, fruit trees, and gardens with electric fencing, or say hello to Mr. Bear. Coming up, a new state task force will look at guardianship of elders and others in Michigan.
In our guardianship system across the state last year, more than 10,000 petitions for guardianship were granted. But according to the Supreme Court statistics, fewer than 150 were denied.
That is after the break. You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.